Let's turn in God's Word to 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 13. First Corinthians 13, verse 1, that's where we're starting. God's people, these are God's words, and so let's give our attention to Him and receive His word with faith. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And continuing, those are God's words. Continuing from the last chapter regarding the church and the worship of the church, he rebukes any who would serve the Lord, serve the bride of Christ, the church, without love, without charity, by showing how important and how necessary love is in our thoughts and our words, our actions, even from our hearts. You could have the greatest gifts that we were called to seek after in the last chapter, but if you have not love, it's vanity. Verse 2, you are nothing if you have not love. In verses 4 to 7, love is defined. We find what the properties of love are and the fruits of love are, so that there's no debate about what love is. All, of course, culminating in God Himself. God is love. And then finally, verse 8, to the end of the chapter, all those graces of the Lord, the spiritual graces, the gifts, many call them, all of them compared to love, are nothing. You ought to pursue the fruit of love more than anything else. Because comparatively, with all those other gifts, like the last chapter spoke of, with all those other gifts, love never fails. Love never dies or fades away. Love never comes to nothing. Love excels all other gifts and graces forever, is eternal. Because God is love and God is eternal. And so therefore, friends, you are to put on love. That communicable attribute of the Lord that we are able to have in Christ alone. If you are to put on anything in the church, if you can have anything in the church, put on love. And this will bring about and maintain purity. This will serve the church and serve Christ well and bring honor to His name. True love, as defined in the Scriptures, not how we define it, not by based on our feelings, but the love that is defined here in the passage and found in God alone, in Christ alone. Here it says the greatest of these, even of faith and hope, the greatest of these is love. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the love that we see amongst us for one another and for you. It is not perfect in any way. We often fail each other. We often are envious of each other. We often shrink back from love, but there is love here, and we're thankful for it, that we can see it and we experience it with one another. And that is because you work amongst us by your Son Jesus Christ, and more specifically the Spirit of Christ amongst us. And so we're thankful for you working amongst us and your graces within us, working them in us to serve the church. And we're thankful, therefore, for love. Thankful for your love. That, well, of course, we didn't love first. We didn't love you first. We didn't love our neighbor first. You loved us first in your Son. And even from all eternity, you have loved us, your children who believe on Christ for salvation. And so, Father, we ask that you would turn and tune our hearts to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That we would love our neighbor and especially love our brothers and sisters in Christ from our hearts. And that we would see that in our actions. Father, we pray that you would build us up by love and encourage us by love. Father, we pray that you would show us very clearly any time that we seek to serve the church without love. And it's really in vain and comes to nothing, as your word here says. And so make us to be men, women, and children of love. Pray this evening that you would be with those who are struggling again. Father, we prayed for the Maxwells this morning. We pray that you would continue to work in them and heal them and strengthen them. We ask that you would continue to comfort those who have experienced loss, those who have experienced great struggle and trying circumstances. Be with them and strengthen them in Christ. Pray that you would be with Tim. You would heal his body, which he's been struggling with for the past few weeks in his sort of sickness. Father, we ask that you would heal him. We pray that you would be with Phil and his migraine, that you would, even by the time Julie and Mark get home this evening, that the migraine would be gone, if that would be your will. And yet we trust your plan. We also ask that you would be with Jesus and his allergies that he's struggled with and the sleeping that he's not been able to have very well. Pray that you would grant him sleep and rest each night, and that you would help him to stop coughing while he's trying to sleep. The same with Dina, and heal her. And Father, we also ask that you be with Chuck. Thankful that he's able to be here this evening, and Jeannie with him, and that his nerve pain in his back, we pray that you would heal him in that, and so that he would be able to sleep. We're thankful that he doesn't have pain, nerve problems when he's standing or sitting, but only when he's laying down. And so help him when he's seeking to sleep and gain rest in his body. And you would provide that rest and strength and energy. And Father, we do thank you as we consider all these bodily frailties. Yet we give you thanks, because we deserve far worse than all these. Even as we've heard many times recently, the pains of hell forever, as our catechism says. We deserve everything bad and painful, and that which is an affliction and suffering. To be persecuted, we deserve it all. We deserve even the judgments that we'll hear about this evening, that we heard about in Joel. And Father, we're thankful for your mercy and the grace you've shown us in Christ Jesus, your Son. You have not given us those things. You've given us little things here and there, most likely to discipline us, to turn us back to you, to turn us from our sins, to turn us to trust in you and believe in faith, to strengthen our faith. And we know that in the time present, when you discipline us, it is not pleasant. But if we look to you, and we trust in you, and we see it for what it is from your hand, that it will bring about, and as we're trained by it, it would bring about the peaceable fruit of righteousness. We pray that that would be true of all of us as we are disciplined by you. We pray that it would not be unto an eternal judgment, but that it would be unto repentance and greater faith in Christ your Son, and you, the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so sanctify us in our afflictions and discipline us. We're thankful for your discipline that shows that you are our Father who loves us and has not forsaken us. Father, we consider as we look around how the assembly of your people is not as much as it used to be in a couple months ago. And those who have fled away or gone to another church who have continued to forsake the assembling together of your people. Father, we pray that you would not cause that to discourage us. Grieve us, surely, yes, but not to discourage us, because you are the God who promises to divide out and separate the chaff from the wheat. And Father, you are the one who purifies your bride. And so we ask that you would continue to purify your bride with the truth, knowing, as we know in John's Gospel, your word is truth. Father, we pray for our congregation. You would give us wisdom, guidance. You would guide us in every step we take. I have the many meetings that the deacons, elders have of meeting with various other churches or bodies of people built for buildings to rent. You would grant wisdom, and that you would provide a rental price within the range that we have committed to, that is good for us at this time. We pray that you would provide that for us. We know that that seems like impossible, and impossible humanly speaking, but you can provide it. And so we plead unto you for it, if it would be your will. And if it's not your will, then guide us to where we must go. And continue to provide for us. We're thankful as we look back on the last month or so that we have seen an increase in our giving, and thankful for this, that we are all giving more. Pray that you would give us and continue giving us those hearts to want to give, and that you would then provide the funds to give. And so give us raises in our jobs or better financial situations so that we can give more. Because we want your kingdom to grow more. And that your name would be given all praise, all the more. May that be what our heart's desire is, not so that we can just continue, or that we can boast in ourselves, or anything like that, but that your name would be given all praise. Father, we pray for our presbytery that meets in about a month, and all the preparations going on for that, the men who should be examined for various things leading to ordination. Father, we ask that you would grant your word, grant your truth, that elders would rule according to your word alone, judge according to your word alone, and from the wisdom that comes alone from you, and not according to the ways and methods of the world, lest we be judged for doing so. But turn us from any judgment. Turn us into your way. And protect us as a church of our presbytery from any such waywardness. And so we pray for our presbytery, that they would seek after you. Pray that you would be with us as we prepare to have that visitation committee from presbytery to come and observe us and ask us questions about, at least from the elders and the deacons. Pray that you would grant them godly advice to us or recommendations that we might not be seeing. And if there were in sin, that we would repent of it. And Father, we ask that you would guide us, even by our shepherds. And then, Father, we do pray. We pray for, as we have before, Pastor Drost and Pastor Rice in Colorado and Washington in Colorado, and pray for those churches as well in Colorado Springs and Houston and San Antonio and Washington, Iowa. Pray that you provide ministers for them and provide healing to those pastors. We pray this evening especially for Pastor Eshelman in Orlando, who found out Friday, having pain in his chest, that he had 99% blockage in one of his arteries. Thankful that he was able to have a stent put in, and that he's in the hospital. He's doing well. Pray that you would continue to heal him. And as he is young, our Father, we ask that you would protect him and help him to do well and zealously preaching the gospel in the coming months and years, the rest of his life. We're thankful for your mercy to him. For the artery that was blocked was the one that would cause death instantly. And there would have been no hope. But you have given him, by your mercy, more time to serve you on this earth. And so, Father, we ask that you would grant him all the more zeal now and boldness because of going through these events and circumstances, as you often do with your people. Give him all the more earnestness to proclaim the mysteries of the gospel, and that many would be saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.